Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, February 19th. More than a publisher, a force for good. Spence led with kindness, championed city, left Midland stronger. The story was written by Jimmy Patterson, special to the MRT. He was like clockwork, more accurately, like a timepiece that chimed joyfully each day with impressive regularity. Shortly after 10 every morning, the door to the front office of the Midland Reporter-Telegram would open, a sound I grew to love, and out walked Charlie Spence. He walked with a purpose. Anyone who knew him can certainly attest to that. His purpose, on these mornings in the 1980s and 1990s, was to stop by every office in the newsroom to greet each one of us. Lifestyle first, because it was closest to his office. Next was sports, which, oddly, also included Ed Todd's desk, so you know he spent a lot of time there. He would step into the business oil section to meet John Paul or Mella, then onto the copy desk and Mary, and finally the editor's office. There, having seen everyone, he would sit down and talk with Gary about his favorite subject, that day in Midland, Texas. Charlie lit up a room, whatever the room and wherever the room. When he walked in, people knew it. Such was the brightness of his presence that he likely single-handedly saved the MRT hundreds of dollars a year in electric bills. He had a radiant smile and the best handshake ever, but it was his genuine interest in you when he was with you. That's what I'll always remember. Charlie didn't talk so much to you as he listened to you, heard you. And given the way he loved to be with his employees, I would think he probably considered that the best part of his day. At 8 a.m. Sunday, February 15th, that always glowing light was dimmed. After being ill for the better part of a year, Charles Spence, publisher of the Midland Reporter-Telegram, from 1984 to 2007, passed. Quote, "Charlie was one of the kindest, most wonderful men I ever knew," said retired District Court Judge Dean Rucker. "He brought people together through his kindness and congeniality. He was such a force for good," end quote. He and his wife Ruthie came to Midland at one of the hardest times it has ever endured, barely a year removed from the FDIC's seizure of First National Bank. Oil was at $28.50, and vacancy signs shone red in the shiny buildings downtown. But slowly, as Midland has so often done, it emerged again, and when the 1990s arrived, measurable economic growth occurred, Midland expanded, Loop 250 became the center of retail, and civic pride boomed. Of course, no one single person could have possibly been responsible for that turnaround, but Charlie knew how to run a newspaper, and he turned the Reporter-Telegram from a newspaper to our newspaper. Big difference. The paper was deeply involved in the community, every neighborhood, every school, every church. Charlie never said no. His generosity lifted innumerable nonprofit organizations in Midland. The paper's nonprofit advertising rate and the editorial space dedicated to agencies that took care of Midland allowed charitable causes to thrive, and those who directed the organizations often made known their thanks to Charlie. Quote, Charlie was just one of those old-fashioned, honest news people who care for his community, said local businessman and former city council member Jose Cuevas. He championed the Hispanic community. He got involved with us. It was his way of making sure the community was whole and celebrated in all different ways. He wasn't afraid to put items from different communities on the front page. We lived in a time when people didn't care for that sometimes, but the news was the news, whatever and wherever it was. End quote. Bobby Burns, who served 3 terms as mayor of Midland, said Charlie's tireless work put his fingerprints on our city that will remain for generations to come. Quote, Charlie was publisher at a time in Midland's history when his editors could shift public opinion with just the position of a front-page story, Burns said. He gave his editors freedom to write stories even when he found fault or simply didn't agree. He believed in the value of an unencumbered fourth estate. The freedom of the press was extremely important to him, end quote. Burns called Charlie, quote, an honest gentleman who used his position to help us all. When Charlie Spence spoke up and led, we all paid attention, end quote. It's interesting to note here, too, that of all the descriptors used to help define Charlie these last few days, the one most often repeated among friends and colleagues is gentleman. Charlie and Ruth Ann Spence, his wife of 55 years, were married May 17, 1957, the night of high school graduation. They were married until Ruthie died on April 3, 2012. Quote, he and my mother left graduation and drove to Tupelo, Mississippi to get married by the Justice of the Peace, who they woke up in the middle of the night, daughter Pam Foster said. They returned home and didn't tell anyone for almost 2 months that they had married, end quote. Charlie was born in Steele, Missouri, on March 31, 1939, to Grace Gertrude Huddleston and Aaron Burr Spence. His parents, 4 brothers, and 1 sister predeceased him. Charlie moved with his family to Keeser, Arkansas in 1948. He joined the Air Force in 1957 and was on active duty until 1961, honorably discharged at the rank of staff sergeant. He began his career in newspaper at the Topeka, Kansas Capital Journal from 1962 to 1966, then moved on to the Florence, Alabama Courier-Journal from 1967 to 1971, and the Carbondale, Illinois, Southern Illinoisan as advertising director from 1971 to 1976. He was named publisher of the Huron Daily Tribune in Bad Axe, Michigan in 1976, and soon became publisher of the Midland, Michigan Daily News in 1981. He moved to Midland, Texas, and was named publisher of the Reporter-Telegram in 1984. Charlie served more than 30 nonprofits, many as a board member, while in Midland. He served as president and 2-time campaign chair and is one of 5 lifetime members of the United Way of Midland. His volunteer work covered everything from the Midland Chamber of Commerce, the Hispanic Cultural Center of Midland, the Midland Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, and the Midland Humane Coalition. But just because his name wasn't on a letterhead doesn't mean he wasn't supportive of what you did. Quote, he was an amazing volunteer with the United Way, said the organization's former executive director, Jane Wolfe. He never saw problems, only opportunities. Whatever was good for Midland was always on his short list. He made every single volunteer, every contributor, and every staff person feel important, and that was truly genuine with Charlie. As the campaign chair, he went in person to some of our major donors to ask for increases in their contributions. Just as he couldn't say no to Midland, folks couldn't say no to Charlie. While his impact on our entire community is impossible to gauge, I will say with confidence he has left Midland stronger for it. End quote. In a perfect world, the late Ed Todd would be writing this appreciation of his friend. The two may have seemed polar opposites, but shared much in common. In a famous story, the two went dressed as each other to a Halloween party one year. Ed as well-dressed, hair-combed, looking-sharp Charlie, Charlie as well as Ed, bushy mustache, tousled hair, weathered top hat, scarf, well-worn clothes. With their common interest of running, cycling, the written word, and animals, they were as close as two older adults can be in their final years. As Lou Ann Morgan, a friend of both men, said, quote, "If everybody had the same soul that those two men had, this would be a much better world. They brought so much positive and so much good." And Charlie was great about that. A lot of projects in Midland happened because he just stepped in and helped and made things work. End quote. When he left the newspaper, Charlie became a big dog lover. A licensed pilot, he often donated his time transporting adopted dogs to their new owners. Susie Hitchcock Hall, another close friend, said Charlie, as a volunteer with Paws and Pilots, would fly the dogs to a neutral location, halfway to wherever their new owner lived, where he would meet a second pilot who would then take the dog to its final destination. Charlie even flew up to three dogs at a time to states whose spay and neuter laws resulted in a shortage of a particular breed. Pat Canty, publisher of the neighboring Odessa American, remembered Charlie as the epitome of a newspaper publisher. Quote, "Charlie was the most wonderful person, always smiling, always upbeat, always on the go. He cared so much about his community and how he and the newspaper could help make it a better place for all," Canty said. "Even though we were publishers of different papers, we were friends as much as colleagues and worked together on so many projects." After he retired, Charlie remained so active in community service. He recruited me to join the board of Midland's Habitat for Humanity and worked to expand its presence in Odessa. He was a true joy. He was the epitome of what it means to be a true newspaper publisher. Most people live their whole lives never knowing the sheer joy of knowing a Charlie Spence. They should be so lucky." End quote. Dave Waddell had the unenviable task of succeeding Charlie as publisher of the Reporter-Telegram, but excelled at the task, running a paper that was facing major industry shifts in the evolving world of journalism. Expertly, Dave managed a newspaper that successfully coexisted in the print and online worlds, and he did so with not just technical and directorial skill, but with the kind of people skills he had learned from his own father and from Charlie. Quote, "I worked for Charlie for 23 years, Dave said. He was an old-school publisher, believing the local newspaper should be the heartbeat of the community. I always admired his ability to manage the business side while still strongly supporting local nonprofits. He knew that the strength of the paper was the part it played in bringing the community together. He was a mentor to me, and I will always be thankful for his support and guidance during my career." Charlie was very proud of the work he had done during his 23 years as publisher, and I was very happy to succeed him in 2007. "I know Charlie played a big part in my getting the job, and I worked hard to continue his legacy." He told me more than once he was proud of how the paper was doing during my time as publisher. I will miss him, and I am forever grateful for the time we worked together." End quote. Jimmy Patterson worked for Charlie and the Reporter-Telegram from 1988 to 1999 and from 2005 to 2009. He and his wife Karen currently live in Magnolia. Jimmy is working on a book with the Abel Hanger Foundation that will tell the history of Midland's volunteerism, philanthropy, and volunteerism, expected to be published in summer 2027, as well as a book on the history of the Carmelite Monastery and Convent in Stanton. City awards $1.5 million paving drainage contract. The story was written by Luke Diaz. City Council has passed a resolution awarding a contract to Reese Alpert Incorporated for Midland's citywide paving and drainage project. The company was picked following a bid request for the project released in December 2025. Bid requests were issued to 443 contractors, 53 of whom viewed the request and only two of which placed a bid. Reese Alpert, which has worked on various other paving projects for the city, was chosen on account of their San Angelo bases and being the lowest bidder. The contract will have a preliminary amount of $700,000 with an additional $800,000 available through the road bond. The contract is not to exceed this collective amount of $1.5 million. The items contained in the project consist of various infrastructure fixes around the city. These include asphalt removal and laying, traffic control paving, concrete demolition, and others. This made Councilmember-at-Large John Burkholder question the decision to have a single unifying project for all of them, as opposed to having smaller or targeted projects for each item handled by specialized contractors, some of whom, Burkholder said, had reached out to him about the project. Quote, "These are items that just pop up that sometimes we need somebody to come in and get something knocked out for us very quickly and are sometimes unforeseen," Burkholder said. "A lot of times we have these smaller items where we have very qualified individuals that sometimes might not get the opportunity to get some of these smaller projects where that is their forte. Some of these areas where we can look outside the box and potentially bring some of these other people in is what we want to do. One, to give Midlanders or other people in this area a fair shot at giving some of these, and two, because we may be able to get some better bid prices on some of these." End quote. Carl Crago, the City of Midland's Utilities Director, responded by saying that he has been having these conversations with local contractors and that he is in agreement with that kind of approach going forward. Quote, "A few weeks ago, we had a water wall main break, and I was driving around with the contractor working on that, and he brought this exact thing up," Crago said. He said that anything above $1 million for a small contractor, it's a little difficult to get bonding. So I've asked him to send me what a small contractor needs, so he's giving me numbers. I think that would be a focus we could have to try to find some of these paving projects that we could put out for bid that's going to be in that time frame instead of lumping them together. This contract is $1.5 million because it's based off of what we saw last year, so we wanted to make sure there's enough money so that we can quickly get on these patches as they happen. But it's definitely something we're looking at based off contracts," end quote. While promising to look into this way of awarding contracts in the future, City Council voted unanimously to approve the contract to Reese Alpert. Precinct 4 hopefuls focus on water and golf. County Commission candidates take part in Basin PBS debate. The story was written by B.K. Richter. On Monday, Basin PBS hosted a debate for the upcoming primary election for County Commissioner of Precinct 4 between incumbent Diane Anderson and challengers H. Lance Friday and Don Woody Woodward. The moderators for the debate included Basin PBS board member Pat Canty and First Alert 7 television anchor Isabella Garriga. Questions for the debate were decided in advance by moderators. Community submissions were pulled from the live feed of Basin PBS's Facebook stream. Key issues included water supply, with Friday and Anderson noting the county's role in supporting Midland County Utility District, or MCUD, infrastructure. The candidates discussed the $170 million Certificate of Obligation for a new jail, with Anderson supporting it for cost savings and Friday agreeing it was necessary. Candidates also addressed the county's $100 million reserve, with Anderson emphasizing volatility of oil and gas revenues. The candidates highlighted their commitment to law enforcement, road improvements, and transparency, with each emphasizing their unique qualifications and plans for the role. Here's a rundown of the debate in case you missed it. Opening statements. Friday emphasized his deep roots in Midland, his construction experience, and his commitment to disciplined leadership and public safety. Quote, "Midland has been my home," Friday said. "It's been my home for the Friday family going back three generations. I care deeply about Midland and its future. For three generations, we have worked hard, we have built, we have worshipped, and we have raised families in this community," end quote. Friday said that he has spent his career building in Precinct 4, and because of that experience, he has the knowledge that when something is not designed correctly and not built to last, then families end up paying for it. Quote, "My own grandchildren are now fifth-generation Midlanders, and I would like to help plan their future and the futures of all Midland County residents," he said. "To serve was the right thing to do. I'm running to bring disciplined leadership, assistance in county budgeting, and continued support for public safety in the office of the sheriff," end quote. Friday said that his 40-plus years of experience in construction and development make him the right person for this county commissioner position. Quote, "My commitment is to be present, prepared, and accountable to taxpayers, knowing their interest is fully represented. Precinct 4 deserves steady, focused, and thoughtful leadership," he said. Anderson highlighted her faith, family values, and conservative principles, mentioning her achievements in accountability, cooperation, and law enforcement support. She said that she believes government works best when it is focused on serving taxpayers. Quote, "My record shows results for families, public safety, and Midland County's future," she said. "When I began serving in this role, I had three priorities. The first was restored accountability and sound management, starting with the horseshoe," end quote. Anderson said that during her time as commissioner, the county ended outside mismanagement and returned control of the horseshoe to the county. Quote, "That decision protected taxpayer dollars, and today, under new leadership, the horseshoe is running responsibly and effectively," she said. Another priority was to strengthen working relationships with the cities of Midland and Odessa, as well as TxDOT, in order to address infrastructure and road development. Quote, "By coordinating efforts and sharing resources, we have been able to move projects forward more efficiently and with better outcomes. That same spirit of cooperation led to community cleanup efforts between the city and the county, setting the expectation that government should lead by example, Anderson said. We also partnered with PSP to bring the HERO program to Interstate 20 and Highway 191. Since launching in July 2025, these patrols have assisted thousands of motorists, helping families get safely off the road, reducing congestion, and improving highway safety, end quote. Anderson said her third priority has always been supporting law enforcement. Quote, we invested in a new law enforcement facility with a crime lab, training space, fitness facilities, and modern equipment. We adjusted pay scales to remain competitive and ensured our sheriff's office has the tools necessary to protect our community and to do their jobs well, end quote. Woodward discussed his extensive experience in Midland, his commitment to transparency, and his belief in better representation for Precinct 4. He said that he has worked in Midland for more than 40 years, spending 20-plus years in broadcasting. Quote, I was fortunate to have participated in a small way during the baby Jessica rescue and witnessed how Midland was showing the world what an amazing community we are, he said. Additionally, Woodward said that he invested 8 years with Midland Development Corporation. Quote, I have lived in Midland for over 22 years and have been raising and worshiping with my 16-year-old daughter here for over 40 years, he said. I volunteered and served on several boards and commissions and am a graduate of the 25th class of Leadership Midland, end quote. He said that, as a shareholder and taxpayer, there is a constant burden of extra expenses, making chances of financial success and investment ownership more difficult. Quote, I am applying for the Precinct 4 job, not as a career politician, but to serve you as your next county commissioner for Precinct 4, he said. As a stockholder, taxpayer in Midland County, I believe Precinct 4 needs, deserves, and should expect better representation, accountability, and transparency, end quote. Water issues. Water issues in Greenwood and the Vander Ranch community have been ongoing for Midland County. Vander Ranch residents have experienced a long-term water crisis with frequent service shutoffs, boil water notices, and poor water quality. Residents have also reported sewage smells, potential contamination, and extremely high utility bills for unsafe water. Friday stated that the county has no responsibility to provide water, but has assisted MCUD with $27.5 million for infrastructure. Anderson agreed, noting the county's investment in MCUD for the new jail and detention center. Woodward criticized the county's decision to provide funding to MCUD, questioning the fairness to other parts of Midland County. Financing new jail. The construction of a new county jail is currently underway and is estimated to be finished between 1 and 2 years. Anderson said she supports the use of certificates of obligation for the new jail, citing cost savings and the need for a new facility. Woodward questioned the lack of voter approval for the new jail facility. He also questioned the increase in commissioner salaries, accusing Anderson of voting for her own pay raise. Friday defended the method of financing for the jail facility, stating it is common practice among counties and that the debt will be manageable without raising taxes. Financial reserves. Currently, Midland County has in reserves more than $100 million, which amounts to nearly 9 months of expenses. The Government Finance Officers Association recommends keeping at least 2 months of expenses in reserves. Friday questions the accuracy of the $100 million reserve figure, which was provided by the moderators of the debate, suggesting it might be closer to $50 million. Anderson explained the need for a large reserve due to the volatility of oil and gas revenues. Woodward suggested using some of the reserve to pay down debt and questioned the plan if property taxes are abolished. Full-time service. Anderson confirmed that she treats her role as a county commissioner like a full-time job and is committed to serving the community. Woodward criticized the high salary for commissioners and suggested reducing it to save taxpayer money. Quote, "I will dedicate time to it," Woodward said. "But again, $123,000, I think that's way out of line. Surely we can reduce that or give some of that money back. We want to cut taxes and protect our shareholders, right? There's a good place to start. Start at the top," end quote. Friday emphasized the need for a full-time commitment due to the complexity of the job. Quote, "I don't know how you would do it any other way," Friday said. "There is a lot of information to assimilate, a lot of information to investigate, and a lot of calls to make," end quote. Code of Conduct. All of the county commissioner candidates agreed with the rules of conduct for the commissioner's court, emphasizing the importance of respect and professionalism. Friday and Anderson stressed the need for residents to feel comfortable expressing their opinions. Woodward highlighted the importance of treating everyone with respect and acting like adults. Golf course. In June, Midland County Commissioners selected an architectural firm to develop a golf course in southeastern Midland. The golf course is slated to be developed on the eastern side of the intersection of County Roads 1140 and 110. The price of building the course would range depending on the size. Early estimates range from $12 to $18 million, while the cost of a 27-hole golf course can be up to $20 million. However, plans for the course were put on hold in May when the Midland County Utility District bond failed. The bond would have provided the water and water infrastructure to the county needed to properly irrigate the course. Anderson said a golf course would not be possible because of existing water issues. Quote, "If we could do a partnership with the city, because they are already in the golf course business, they have the water resources, they have the experience, so I would be in favor of maybe collaborating with the city," she said. "For the county to be the owner of the golf course, I am not in favor of that, and especially because we don't have water in the county to provide for the golf course," end quote. Woodward echoed the position of no golf course given the existing water issues. Quote, "There's no water," he said, "and once we do get water, that water should be used for the residents, not for the 27-hole golf course. It's great that we looked into it to see what it's all about and what it's going to cost, but I say no," end quote. Friday said that he doesn't think that anyone residing in Greenwood or on the commissioner's court believes that a golf course would ever come to fruition. Quote, "I think the money that you are referencing was spent on a feasibility study to figure out if there was a need for additional golf," he said. "I believe they decided and established that there is a need for more than one golf course because we have eliminated two golf courses in Midland, but I am in total agreement that it needs to be put on hold if and when there is some water that could be used or some water that could be reclaimed and reused," end quote. Friday said that if and when a golf course is a viable option, then those discussions can continue. But he said he was in agreement with the commissioner's court that there would be no golf course at this point in time. Roads, infrastructure. Friday said county commissioners have focused on redoing roads, repaving roads, and maintaining roads. Quote, most recently, Midland County has spent upwards of $50 million a year working on roads, Friday said. There is still a lot to do and a lot in Precinct 4 to do, and I think we need to continue to budget $35 to $50 million a year to continue to improve these roads, end quote. Anderson said that in the 3 years in which she has been a county commissioner, Midland County has spent more than $150 million on roads, mostly in Precincts 2 and 3. Quote, Precinct 3 had not had any roads done in maybe a decade, she said. And Precinct 2 has a lot of growth. Precinct 4 has had growth also, and we have worked on a couple of roads, end quote. Anderson said it is something that the county is playing catch-up on. Quote, because there wasn't a lot of money spent on roads prior to maybe 7 years ago, she said, and so we are playing catch-up, but we're doing a great job because we have now hired a person through Road and Bridge that understands roads, and they are working to do a chip and seal throughout the whole county, end quote. Woodward said that roads are one of the biggest concerns for his constituents. Quote, there can be a lot of improvement, he said. Oil field theft. Anderson cited the Midland County Sheriff's Office tag unit in supporting the Sheriff's Office. She also mentioned the addition of flock safety cameras and additional funding for equipment, helping to combat oil theft. Woodward said that the oil and gas industry is Midland's bread and butter. Quote, if we can't protect these companies from oil field theft, then what are we doing? End quote. He said he supported stronger law enforcement as a priority for Midland County. Friday said oil field theft has been going on since the oil business has been in existence. Quote, the Texas Anti-Gang Unit was funded by a grant of $2.5 million last year, and the funding came in a bit later after the budget was published, Friday said. Commissioners ended up adding three positions to help with that tag unit outside the printed budget. But I really do believe that with the support from the county commissioners, with the county judge included, that they have provided for Sheriff Kreiner's office, they have the ability, the staff, the equipment to help with this oil field theft, end quote. Retention of deputies. Woodward said deputy retention depends upon Sheriff David Kreiner. Quote, he needs to come up with a plan, Woodward said. I certainly support the sheriff, but you were asking me to stand up here and micromanage that department. That's not fair to him. That's why he's in that position, end quote. Friday said Kreiner has done a remarkable job of trying to fill those positions. Quote, and I think he has done a remarkable job of getting some help raising their salaries, he explained. I know 4 years ago, a deputy was making about $38,000, and now they are making about $80,000, end quote. Friday added that with any occupation in Midland or Odessa, you have to battle the oil field. Quote, the oil field can outpay all private sector, public, and county employees for those positions, end quote. Anderson said that supporting law enforcement is one of her three priorities. Quote, commissioners adjusted the pay scales to remain competitive and ensure our sheriff's office has the tools necessary to protect our community and their jobs as well, she said. They also have the new law enforcement building, which has great training facilities and so their classes are larger now, and I really applaud the sheriff for getting more people in there in the training programs, and I think he's working hard to get more law enforcement, end quote. Public engagement. Friday said he plans to stay in touch with constituents through public forums, town hall meetings, and direct communication. Anderson emphasized her availability and willingness to assist constituents while also noting the lack of success with town hall meetings. Quote, "My number is out there," she said. "I have been walking blocks, and I give them my phone number if they want to reach me. When I get a phone call, I always return the call, and I always try to assist. I make myself available. I am where I need to be most of the time," end quote. Anderson said that while town hall meetings are a great idea, they are largely not successful. Woodward suggested regular town hall meetings to ensure consistent engagement and transparency. Quote, "It may not be attended at first, but if constituents know that there is one every quarter and they have an opportunity to come and yell at us for 2 or 3 hours to find out why we make this decision, why we're making so much more money than everybody else, then I think that will grow," he said. "We have to meet everybody where they are at, whether that is at their place of business or at their home," end quote. Closing statements. Friday reiterated his commitment to discipline leadership, budgeting, and public safety. Quote, "This is not something I just rushed into," he said. "I wanted to understand the challenges of this position. I listened to residents, and I need to be certain I can bring the right level of preparation and commitment to being the county commissioner for Precinct 4. After careful consideration, I decided Precinct 4 would benefit from discipline, budgeting, transparency, and long-term planning," end quote. Anderson highlighted her achievements in parental rights, cost savings, and community support. Quote, "I take action to defend parental rights and protect Midland County children by removing sexually explicit materials from the public library children's section," she said. "The county also added firewalls to the children's computers," end quote. Another achievement, she said, was changing the county's fleet management company to a local company, saving taxpayers. Quote, "We already have $100,000 in savings in the first quarter and projected savings of upwards of $700,000, Anderson said regarding the company change. "County government requires experience, tough decisions, and conservative leadership that puts our community first," end quote. Woodward emphasized his experience, commitment to transparency, and desire to rein in local government spending. Quote, "We live in the flow of the oil and gas industry with the ups and downs," he said. "We should be lean and mean, always preparing for the dam. I just think Precinct 4 has to have better representation, better accountability, and more transparency." Woodward said that at the end of the day, it was not about him, it was about Midland. Here are some obituaries that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, February 19th. Charles Charlie Spence, age 86, of Midland, passed away on February 15th at home surrounded by family. He was born March 31st, 1939, in Steele, Missouri, to Grace Gertrude Huddleston and Aaron Burr Spence. Charlie served in the U.S. Air Force from 1957 to 1963 and was honorably discharged as a staff sergeant. He enjoyed a distinguished career as publisher of the Midland Reporter-Telegram, where he championed a free press and civic responsibility. A lifelong pilot and stunt pilot, Charlie also loved motorcycle riding, and running. He volunteered tirelessly with United Way, the Salvation Army, Boy Scouts of America, the Humane Society, Habitat for Humanity, and many other local organizations. He was preceded in death by his wife of 55 years, Ruth Ann Spence, his parents, his brothers Jerry Spence, Royce Spence, Jim Huddleston, and Joe Huddleston, and his sister, Nana Morris. He is survived by his son, David Spence, and fiancée, Kelly Campbell, his daughter, Pamela Spence Foster, and husband, Dan Foster, as well as several grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Visitation will be held from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. on Wednesday, February 18th. Funeral services will be at 9:30 a.m. Thursday, February 19th, at First Baptist Church Chapel, with interment to follow at West Haven Memorial Park. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made to the Salvation Army, Midland Soup Kitchen, Hospice of Midland, the Humane Society, or a charity of your choice. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. John Randolph C. passed away on Friday, February 13th in Austin, Texas. John was born on August 19th, 1930, in Wichita Falls, Texas, to Albert and Delta C. He married the love of his life, Charlotte, in March 1964. They raised their family in Midland, Texas, where John had a 60-year career as an independent oil and gas operator and business owner. John and Charlotte later moved to Austin to be closer to family. John is survived by his loving family, Daniel C., his wife Cheryl, Sam C., predeceased, Stephen C., wife Annie, Sherry Smith, with her husband David, Scott C., his partner Joshua Dunning, as well as several grandchildren and great-grandchildren. A celebration of John's life will be held at a later date. Memorial donations may be made to Samaritan's Purse. Go online at www.samaritanspurse.org. Emilio Rubio Jr., age 47, of Midland, passed away on Thursday, February 12th. Funeral service is set for Thursday, February 19th at 10 a.m. at Heavenly Gate Funeral Home Chapel. Burial will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens. Funeral service is under the direction of Heavenly Gate Funeral Home and Chapel. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin@nts-online.net, or you can visit the website at LlewellynGarciaPipkinFH.com. Donald Ray Ayers, age 87, of Odessa, died Thursday, January 29th, in Odessa. Graveside service will be...
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.
Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. Judy Tusek, age 80, of Midland, passed away Sunday, February 15th. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Tamara Jan Keats passed from this life on February 6th in Midland. Services are pending. This is the Dear Abby column that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, February 19th. Daughter levels with mother about future plans. Dear Abby, I am 67 and my husband is 68. For the past 6 years, we have been caring for aging parents. My father-in-law, who had Alzheimer's, passed away a few years ago. We went through a lot with him as his illness progressed. My mother-in-law is 87 and does not want to go into a nursing home. She still lives by herself, but my sister-in-law and I take turns cooking and bringing her food, and my husband works his tail off cutting the grass and doing maintenance and repairs she can no longer do. Although we are retired, our lives revolve around her needs. I recently had a conversation with my daughter, my only child. She has three sets of parents, us, my ex and his wife, and her husband's parents. She said she loves us, but she doesn't want to take care of any of us. When she retires, she wants to enjoy her retirement, travel, and not have to worry about caring for anybody. Having gone through it myself, I understand her feelings. Nobody wants to do this. At the same time, I'm a little hurt. All that we have, money, cars, house, is set up to go to her after we pass. Now it looks like we may need it to pay for assisted living. Abby, is it normal for kids these days to refuse to help aging parents? Signed, Revising Plans in Missouri. Dear Revising, I don't know whether it has become normal, but it is not unusual. Woe to any parent who assumes their children will take care of them, because it doesn't always turn out that way. Be glad your daughter is speaking up now so you can plan accordingly. Dear Abby, I lost my beloved mother-in-law 5 years ago. Since then, my father-in-law has become engaged to a woman who, frankly, is not liked by anyone in our family. She's unkind and dismissive, and her presence creates tension at family gatherings. They have now announced their wedding date, which happens to fall on my birthday. This has hit me hard. My parents have both passed away, and my birthday has always been a cherished day, filled with memories and meaning. It was one of the few days I felt truly celebrated. Now I worry that every future birthday will be overshadowed by their anniversary and the complicated emotions tied to it. Would it be selfish or inappropriate to ask them to consider a different date? I don't want to cause drama, but I also feel deeply hurt. How do I navigate this without making things worse? Signed, Torn Between Grace and Grief. Dear Torn, I am sorry for your disappointment, but the date of your birth does not belong solely to you. It's clear that you disapprove of your father-in-law's choice of a second wife, and I sincerely hope you will be able to adjust. I do not think it will go over well if you approach the happy couple and ask them to change the date of their nuptials to accommodate you. Dear Abby is written by Abigail Van Buren, also known as Jean Phillips, and was founded by her mother, Pauline Phillips. Contact Dear Abby at www.dearabby.com or Post Office Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.